Chapter 12. No rules? Louis was very tired that night when all the kids went to bed. He hobbled to the cave entrance and looked around wearily just to ensure no one was watching. Opening the locked door with the key that he kept in his pocket, he entered his office, closed the door, and with a groan, sat down in his chair. They had made a great start on the mansion. Even though the house was for the girls, the boys who were helping were learning how to build their own. In one day, they had built the frames for the first floor and clamped many wooden building boards together to make several strong beams. It was now a question of how to get all those structures up the hill. Tapping the side button of the cell phone with his hand, Louis turned it on and swiped the screen. He Googled, how to get heavy objects up a hill. As usual, there were many items for sale, very big items that weren't suitable for a tiny dome world. Eventually, he found the image of a man pushing a cart with wheels. Ah, that's what I need, he thought. Wheels. I need wheels and a way to attach them to a frame. A few more distracting ideas caught his eye, things that he thought might be fun to create in the future. Bikes, skateboards, and go-karts. But first, they had to build everyone a house. He clicked back on the home screen and chose the white dove messenger icon for a video call. Professor answered, and his kind face showed up on the screen. How are you doing, Louis? He asked. You've worked very hard today. Yes, Louis chuckled, rubbing his shoulders. Getting up and down that hill with those wooden building boards was quite tiring. I've Googled ways to make it easier and decided that we should build carts. If it's possible, could you please send us some wheels? Great idea, the professor replied, nodding. I can get wheels easily enough. Carts will certainly help. Thank you, Louis smiled gratefully. Should also mention an incident today between Odin and Santa. Odin is still pushing the other kids around, and today he pushed Santa so hard that she fell and cut her knee. I made a rule that there was to be no hitting or hurting anyone in paradise. The professor's eyes filled with alarm. Santa actually cut her knee? He exclaimed. Was she bleeding? Louis nodded. Yes, and in tears. Her friends helped her out, and she's fine now. I'm really sorry to hear that Odin is pushing the others, the professor said with great disappointment. I hope that once you all had entered paradise, everyone would be too happy to hurt anyone else. Louis didn't reply, and the professor pondered the incident thoughtfully. Finally, he said, I know Odin's behavior is distressing, but I don't want there to be any rules in your new world. I'd rather you sit down and talk to Odin about why he wants to hurt people. Remember the 10 principles. Listen and show empathy. Maybe help Odin think of other options to express his negative feelings in less harmful ways. Rules are unnecessarily restrictive. I'm sure after a few more weeks his behavior will improve. Louis was surprised by the reply. No rules at all? He questioned. He knew that in the professor's world, rules abounded. Not even wash your hands before you eat, or come to school in the mornings, or you must learn how to swim? No rules, the professor insisted. Just explain why it's important to wash your hands and swim, and then they will want to do it because they will see the benefits. Encourage them to come to school because learning is so exciting and valuable. You've done a great job so far, choosing only topics that are useful and important for them to know. Carry on in the same manner, and you'll never have to make a rule. Louis agreed. Well then, I suppose I could take time off building tomorrow to talk to Odin, he considered. Maybe he'll also have something to trade for table supplies, and I can help him make one of his own. Yes, the professor smiled. Let him express his feelings to you. A little empathy and encouragement should curtail Odin's desire to hurt others, just like we discussed in our course. Louis nodded. He understood that listening, empathy, and encouragement were important motivators. However, Louis was also aware that knowing how something is done or should be done doesn't always result in perfect implementation. Only 3 boys had learned how to swim, and he himself was still struggling to figure it out. Inwardly, the professor wished he could call Rachel Khalid for advice. He and Evan had excelled in making a perfect physical world in which the Tinies could thrive, but they had never been parents. He thought to himself, it might be helpful sometimes to have a motherly perspective. Maybe Rachel would understand Odin. Oh, if only we didn't have to worry about making her an accomplice. Well, good night, son, the professor said kindly. You're doing a wonderful job with all these children, and for the most part, they all seem to be very happy. Thank you, Louis smiled, and good night to you. Once his screen went black, Louis thought about what he would say to Odin in the morning. Mentally, he went through the 10 principles checklist, taking note of all that he thought would apply. Listening, empathy, healing awareness, persuasion, foresight, and building community. Once he had made a plan, he Googled a few ideas for the boys' farmhouse. Yesterday, he had pulled Charlie's name from the jar. Charlie, Kenzie, and Vahid weren't so concerned with how nice their house looked, so Louis found a plan with a large veranda, 2 floors, and plenty of rooms. He sent it off to the professor to print. He received a text back from the professor. "Do you hear that beautiful song?" Louis couldn't hear anything in the cave. He had assumed all the kids were sound asleep. Turning off the lights in his cave office, he dashed outside. Someone was singing, and Louis knew immediately who it was. The clear, strong voice with a lovely, sweet tone was unmistakably Amy's.
"I love you, Professor. You make my dreams come true. I couldn't ask for more. I'm so thankful to you. My favorite color, pink, is on the couch you gave. You know just what I think."
All of a sudden, the song stopped. "Oh, I always get stuck on the last line," Amy moaned. "What rhymes with gave?" Louis could hear her trying various words. Finally, she found a word she liked. "Wave."
"My love to you, I wave."
And with that, Amy started the whole song over. With a smile, Louis locked the door to the cave office, rolled the fake rock in front, and headed to bed. He didn't know until the next day that the professor had sent another message that said, "I can't tell you how much this little girl's songs mean to me. All the work we put into building paradise is worth it for just one song. I wish I could tell her how much I love her. Please take special care of her. See if there are any children who also love music and would like to make some easy instruments. I will send in some instructions." Early the next morning, everyone gathered at the store to get Nancy's fresh bread for breakfast. The farmers and the orchard girls had fruit, flowers, and veggies to trade. Charlie had even brought some eggs. Whistling happily, Zahir came in with his catch. He and Vahid had caught 10 fish. Amy had offered to help Nancy get breakfast ready that morning, since her hand had healed well and she was able to use it again. Taking one look at the stiff creatures with the blank eyes, she was aghast, especially when Zahir suggested that she fry the fish. She cried out, "Oh, but that's so mean! I couldn't fry something alive!" Uncle Louis came over just as Vahid walked in. "They aren't alive, Amy," he assured her. "Professor gave us fish to eat. That is why they are in the lake. They are meant for food." Putting an arm around Zahir's dejected shoulders, Uncle Louis asked Nancy for one of the small kitchen knives and a chopping board. She passed them to him. "We'll be right back," Uncle Louis smiled, as he coaxed Zahir and Vahid outside with the fish. Frying the eggs, Amy kept busy while Nancy and Milan served the fruit and the bread. Almost everyone had eaten breakfast before Uncle Louis and the boys reappeared. "Can you fry these?" Zahir asked hopefully. On the chopping board were several long white slabs. They didn't have faces or skin, and there were no longer any eyes. Reluctantly, Amy took the chopping board from Zahir and Vahid. Uncle Louis was nodding at her. "Yes," she agreed, "I can fry these." She popped them into her pan with some oil, and in a few minutes, they were done. She had to admit, they smelled delicious. The 2 fishermen were still standing by the counter when Amy came back with the golden fillets on a tray. With pleased expressions, they helped themselves to the fish and some bread. "Any chance you might have a lemon?" Zahir asked eagerly. Nancy reached for a lemon in one of the fruit baskets she kept in the kitchen. "What will you do with this?" she asked. "They are very sour." With a smile, Zahir picked up a small clean knife and cut the lemon open. "I don't really know if I'm right," he confessed, squeezing the lemon juice on his fish, "but I just have a feeling this might go well together." The girls looked at one another in surprise. "What do I smell cooking?" Lima asked as he came into the store. "Fried fish," Zahir smiled, trying a forkful of the fish on his plate. "Yum," he exclaimed with a smile in Emmy's direction. "This is the best breakfast ever." Amy felt proud, even though her part had been rather small. Vahid tasted the fish and his eyes lit up. "Can we just eat breakfast now and bring double trays for lunch?" Lima asked. But that's what you said yesterday, Nancy reminded him. And then you brought a cup of sand, which no one needs. Head out to Mining Hill, Uncle Louie told the Beach Boys firmly, tired of their reluctance to put in any effort. There are lots of treasure to be found in the dirt. At the very least, bring some flat rocks, and then you can have your breakfast. As the Beach Boys turned to leave, grumbling under their breath, Uncle Louie came forward to try a piece of the fried fish. He squeezed the other half of the lemon on his fillet and tried his first mouthful. This is fantastic, he raved, looking up at Zaheer and Vahid. I sure hope you boys plan to fish every day. Zaheer nodded eagerly. Sure will, he said. Odin brushed by, and Uncle Louie asked if he'd found anything to trade for table supplies. Not yet, Odin shrugged. The Beach Boys returned with only a few pebbles, so Uncle Louie told them to get their bread and fish and head down to the lake for a discussion. Standing up, Uncle Louie announced to the whole group, Everyone else will need to meet me here at the store for school today. I'll ring the bell when it's time to come. If you're no longer using your little wooden bed, bring it over to the glue gun. We will use the old beds to make carts today. I want everyone to help make a cart to carry materials for the houses. Singling out Franz, Damien, Lima, Odin, and Ponzi, Uncle Louie insisted they follow him to the beach. Reluctantly, they complied, while the other kids enjoyed some time to play outside. Sprawling out in the sand, the five boys made themselves comfortable. Are we in trouble again? Damien asked, looking up warily with his big brown eyes. No, not in trouble, Uncle Louie replied, but I believe it's important for us all to talk about how we treat other people and build our community. We are very fortunate to live in paradise, and we want to keep this world happy for everyone and free from pain and suffering. This means we need to think of how to make this world a happier place for others as well as ourselves. But what about when they cause us pain? Odin demanded, his pale blue eyes flashing indignantly. How does that happen? Uncle Louie asked him. Well, sometimes we really want something and then someone else comes along and takes it. That hurts me. Uncle Louie looked up at Odin with surprise. Anger and frustration were seething in the boy's face. It was hard to believe that in a beautiful world, a 10-and-a-half-month-old Tiny could have such strong negative emotions. All right, Uncle Louie replied, exercising empathy. You were very upset when Santa got the bed and the table. I can understand your disappointment. You didn't think that was fair. It sure wasn't fair, Odin grumbled. All I got was a hard chair. Did you have to do anything or trade anything to get that chair? No, Odin retorted, but Santa got the bed for nothing. He tried to help Odin think of options. Can you trade for a bed or make a bed? But that's work. Santa didn't have to work for the bed. Uncle Louie looked at Odin long and hard, but the stocky youth was not about to change his grumpy appearance. What options do we have when someone takes something that we had our heart set on? What can we do? Fight him and get it back, Odin insisted. Anything else? Ponzi looked up at Uncle Louie. Tell you and hope you make them give it back?
That's a less aggressive way, Uncle Louie nodded.
We could make something that they will like better and offer to trade, Damien suggested with a smile. I like that idea, Uncle Louie agreed. Now you're talking about making an effort to do something that will keep the other person happy and you will feel happy yourself. You could just decide not to care about the thing, whatever it is, Lima shrugged. You could let them have it and make yourself something instead. Yes, Uncle Louie nodded, less convinced. That works well if you care more about the other person than yourself. Then you will be happy if they are happy. But if you continue feeling resentful towards that person, your unhappiness may lead to hurtful actions later. But what if you make the other person something and then they don't want it? Franz challenged. That is a possibility, Uncle Louie agreed. I say just hit him and grab it, Odin grunted. What is gained by hurting people? They won't say no the next time. Uncle Louie looked at Odin thoughtfully. Is that really what you want, Odin? Do you want to make the others so afraid of you here in paradise that they just give you whatever you ask for? Do you think you have any good friendships if people are afraid of you? I don't need friends, Odin shrugged. Hey, Ponzi frowned. Other than Ponzi, Odin clarified. We all need friends, Uncle Louie told him. We make friends when we show kindness to others. We lose friends when we resort to scaring people to get our own way. No one feels happy when they are hurt, and no one who hurts others will feel happy inside. So let's have no more hurting, no hurtful words, no hurtful actions. In paradise, we will use other methods to work through conflicts. Come and talk to me if you can't figure out what to do.
I don't like rules, Odin complained.
I'm not making rules, Uncle Louie replied reluctantly. I'm only giving suggestions. Professor doesn't want us to have rules in paradise. With a smug smile, Odin stated, that's more like it.
As he watched Odin trudge off alone across the meadow while the others ran ahead, Uncle Louie was unsure the discussion had been profitable.
Just don't understand the way Odin thinks, he thought to himself. How will I be able to empathize and help someone that I really don't understand?